Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it! It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio.
We don't need no education.
We don't need no top-up fees. Remember the top-up fee? For those of you who don't recall, higher education used to be free in the United Kingdom until Tony Blair's government introduced the so-called top-up fee. Sounds so quaint, doesn't it? Just a wee little tuppence. Top-up, tuppence, top-up, tuppence, a teensy-weeny tiny amount, almost as if it's nothing at all. Who could argue against such a pittance? That top-up fee of £1,000 annually became £3,000 and then £9,000 within barely a decade. What does this all mean in an age when neoliberalism is officially dead? Stacy?
Yes, Max. Neoliberalism is allegedly officially dead, according to the IMF, who has questioned it in a report out in the past week called Neoliberalism Oversold. But speaking of oversold, there's been a viral letter in the UK, and it goes by the headline, "The Viral Finance Letter is Wrong. Here's how the government really screws over students." So this is regarding a student who is now in the workforce after accumulating massive amounts of debt to finance his education to get him into the workforce. And suddenly he's hit with these interest rates that he had no idea he had signed up to. But let's roll back a little bit further to just talk about this huge burden, the huge costs incurred by British students in order to get an education. The headline reads, "Tuition fees. Is England more expensive than the U.S.?" Within a decade, the average student in the United Kingdom now graduates with more debt than the average American does. And, you know, America is famous for its expensive education system. But as the article points out, that really gets skewed by the likes of Harvard and Yale, where it's like $60,000 a year. In fact, they say that across the United States, there's a huge range in tuition costs, they say. And in practice, many U.S. universities have comparable costs with those in England and across Europe. Now, this is a big issue in England now because of this letter that has gone viral.
Well, you know, first of all, I give ourselves some credit because when the top-up fee was introduced, we nailed it. We said this is the beginning of a series of increases.
Yes.
That it was just playing around with language and that pretty soon this is going to be skyrocketing. And it goes part and parcel with the destruction of everything Britain stands for after World War II and the introduction of the so-called welfare state, the NHS and the education. And the idea was that if you supply society, if you supply people with some of the basics of the culture of an education, for example, that it pays huge dividends in the end. You know, people graduate, they are educated, they go out and they create jobs, they create companies. But because the neoliberal claw has clawed back rapaciously all the interest on the debt that's been accumulated to keep the insolvent banks in business, they go after people like the students with these top-up fees. It's counterproductive, it's dangerous, and it's leading to social unrest.
Also, they talk about comparing U.S. to U.K. education costs. They say when the headline figure, when they say, oh, you know, it costs, say, $20,000 to go to UCLA, that also includes the housing costs. The £9,000 a year that it costs to go to university here, that doesn't include housing costs. But to get more on this, I think now is a good time to go to Bristol to talk to Elizabeth Meisen of the Canary.co about neoliberal policies in the education market. So, Elizabeth Meisen, can you relate the tuition costs crisis here in the United Kingdom to neoliberalism, a policy that the IMF now says is a failed policy? Doesn't private education fall under classic neoliberal austerity and restructuring policies?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I suppose in its way, it's basically another version of or another element of corporate welfare, right? So rather than our taxes paying for everybody's education, and as you said a minute ago, that then benefiting society, especially corporations as a whole, because your workforce gets educated and then comes and assumedly provides you with labour for the rest of their lives. Individual students are now bearing the cost at a rising rate. And that's not the only thing that has occurred in recent years that's come under the neoliberal government of George Osborne and David Cameron. So they've also scrapped student maintenance grants, which means that all of the grant money that was given to students which meant that they had, you know, an amount of money that they could live on that they would never have to pay back, has gone. So not only are they having to pay higher interest rates, but they're having to increase their loan amount in the first instance. So there's a huge amount of money now being paid back by individual students rather than society helping to give people an education.
Now, what is the state of that huge pool of student loans? Because those student loans, are they given from the government? I remember the government has sold off all these loans to, I think it was Rothschild's bank. So where do the student loans, who holds all those student loans at the moment?
I don't know who holds those student loans. Now, when I was researching this viral letter, it was my understanding that those loans haven't been sold off to a company, and that's the reason for the rise. The reason for the rise in the rates is actually more to do with the terms that George Osborne set out last year for student loans.
Okay, so roll back to what is this viral letter that you speak of? What happened? What, tell us about the letter. What does it say? What is the most important thing about it?
Okay, so Simon Crowther, who is a recent graduate, wrote an open letter to the government recently. He wrote an open letter to his MP, who's actually a Labour MP, but he wrote an open letter basically to the government saying, I'm now paying, you know, mental amounts of interest on my loan, and he released that open letter with a copy of his annual statement. And the, what he actually got wrong was that he said, while he was at school, he took out the loan, he was still a school child. He was 18 years old, and he trusted that the interest rate would be low. And his interest rate, because he's earning a relatively decent amount, he's an entrepreneur, and he's managed to make, I don't know how much, but clearly a decent amount of money, he's now paying quite a large rate. I believe, from the looks of his statement, it looks like he might be paying about 1 or 2%, and he was expecting sort of between 0 and 0.5. So he's clearly misunderstood the terms of his loan agreement, but I think what it really tells us is rather than him bulking at the amount that he's paying and that being the result of the rise in interest rates after he took out his loan, what's happened is that these school children, and most of them are school children who are taking out these loans, don't understand what loans they're taking out, and they don't understand how interest rates work, and so they're then lumbered with a loan that actually penalizes them more the more they earn.
But this is another element of neoliberalism, which is complexity. We have very complex loans, very complex contracts, very complex indices, whether it's LIBOR, is the fix, gold fix, all these prices set around the world are done in a very complex, opaque way that nobody understands. And it is because of this that, well, look at Greece. Greece went bankrupt because it had very complex credit derivatives on its books that nobody, none of the voters, none of the politicians understood what sort of risk they were taking. Here you're saying that once again, neoliberalism rules. People are forced at 18 years old to sign this contract for a loan that is so complex that they don't understand the contract of the, that they are signing.
Absolutely. And that's actually the crux, I think. When you stop looking at this guy's Facebook post with the viral letter, and you stop looking at all of the little tiny, you know, bits that he's either misunderstood or he's got right, what's really the crux of this is when he says at the end, you know, it highlights the fact that no one has a clue. When I took out a mortgage, he says, I sat down with an advisor and there's no such thing for a student loan. Sorry, bear with me. That's actually what he said to the Huffington Post when they contacted him about it. So I think that's the crux, is that you can't expect an 18-year-old child to understand a huge loan that they're taking out at such a young age, when firstly, that's subject to change at all times. You know, we've seen since, you know, it came in with 1,000 top-up fees, then suddenly it was 3,000 top-up fees, now it's 9,000. That's changing all the time. So even if they did understand it at age 18, you know, there's no guarantee that what they understood to be the case at first is going to be the case when they graduate.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio. So, Elizabeth, this is obviously predatory practices by the banks. So they're preying on students, children, as you say, and they're doing it in a way that's unconscionable. But there is a bigger cultural issue here. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. In other words, in America, there's a phrase, America eats its young. And what this is meant to mean is that it's a winner-take-all society, and either you're a winner or a loser. And if a bank rips you off, well, it's too bad, sucker, you're a loser. And society throws you in the garbage, essentially. There's no health care, no education. You're consigned to the garbage heap. In Britain, you know, it has been a very different culture, that they had a theory of inclusion. They had this idea that we were all in it together. But now this introduction of predatory bank sharks preying on kids, you know, it's a very different culture here in Britain now. Is that a fair characterization?
I'd say so. And I think that the most insidious thing is that that's happening. I mean, that's obviously Thatcher and Reagan, who were great mates. Brought in similar economic policies in the 1980s. And since then, you know, that was continued with New Labour as well. And since then, that has kind of been the trend of cultural economic practice that we've sort of moved towards. But the really terrifying thing, in my opinion, is that we're operating like that, but still under this idea of, oh, we're all in it together. You know, they say, oh, well, we're bringing in all of these practices and you don't understand it. But ultimately, we're all in it together and that's why we're doing it. So, you know, they know that people don't understand economics and it's becoming more and more complicated to understand anyway. But then they're just saying, oh, don't worry about it. We're doing it for your benefit.
Now, this comes on the heels of an IMF research paper called something like Neoliberalism, Is It Oversold? And there are two elements of neoliberalism in particular that they say has basically failed. And one of them is austerity. And they say the reason why austerity has failed is because when your economy is hit by a crash like our economies are, when you have low GDP growth like our economies have, what you need to do is actually have the government not cut benefits, but actually increase them. And particularly, they mentioned education. It's worth educating your population more to be more productive, to be more efficient, to be smarter and more innovative and come up with new ideas for a new economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's really interesting is that they're presenting this as we want increasing numbers of people to go to university and we want increasing numbers of people to be able to participate in society. And, you know, arguably, as they would argue, and it can be argued that you can still do that. But the thing is that now comes saddled with huge loans. You know, yes, of course, I can get a mortgage as long as I'm willing to take out huge amount of debt, which I possibly will never pay off. And similarly with education.
Okay, so you're talking about this letter that's gone viral. Where is this going? Is this catching on and it's turning into a bigger issue? What kind of support is this getting? Or do you think this might just become a flash in the pan and we'll be forgetting about it in a couple of weeks?
Well, unfortunately, I think that it already is a flash in the pan. A couple of days after it went viral, and this was a few days ago already now, the guy, Simon Crowther, that posted it actually deleted the post. I think he realized possibly because a few places, including myself, although I wasn't trying to get him to delete it or anything like that, I think that I've made similar mistakes in understanding my own student loans at times. It becomes increasingly complicated. But I think he's realized that he made a couple of mistakes in his understanding and he's actually deleted that post. So unfortunately, I think it is a flash in the pan. And I think that the question of education in Britain and the changes that George Osborne has brought in 2015 needs a wider movement. It needs some sort of movement to be attacking it. And I'm, you know, hoping that John McDonnell and the Labour Party will be taking him to task on that. But they've been relatively quiet about it so far. They've only sort of commented on it. There's been no real push to ask them to change it or...
In other words, the victim of this heinous predatory act by the bank is blaming themselves. You know, this is what banks rely on. This is what the con game is all about. The person who gets victimized ends up blaming themselves. They think, oh, I was the silly one and it's all my fault. But this is what the predator depends on. This is what feeds the cycle here that we're talking about of putting a whole generation into debt.
And that's also what neoliberalism does, is like Greece signed those credit default swaps. It's their responsibility. So they rely on the complexity to ensnare people in debts that then are become their obligation.
Absolutely. So, you know, what kind of choice is that? Is to say, well, either, you know, your education stops at school, and obviously they're revolutionizing the school system. We have plenty of trouble with our primary and secondary schools at the moment. A lot of people want to go to university, not only to get a degree and to get into the workplace, but also just to, you know, specialize in something, to grow as an individual as well. And the choice is, don't get to do that thing that, you know, you're told you need to do in order to enter the job market, which obviously is, you know, everyone's primary concern for better or for worse. So essentially just take this debt or don't get an education. And that's not really a choice. It's a very difficult position that we're put in. And yeah, you're right, that is a kind of crystallization of the entire attitude of neoliberalism.
All right, well, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Elizabeth Meisen of thecanary.co. Until next week, bye, y'all.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio.